Yeah, I know, things are tough all over. When the thunderstorms start increasing over the southeast and south central portions of my apartment, I get upset. And a line of thunderstorms was developing in the early morning hours ahead of a slow-moving cold front. Cold-blooded. With tornado watches issued shortly before noon Sunday for the areas including the western region of my mental health and the northern portion of my ability to deal rationally with my disconcerting, precarious emotional situation. Cold out there. Cold on a ticket taker's smile at the Ivor Theater on Saturday night. Flash flood watches cover the southern portion of my disposition.
Yeah.
There was no severe weather well into the afternoon, except for kind of a lone gust of wind in the bedroom.
And ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday. Yes, it is. It's Wednesday, the 18th of January. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. I'm on the air with you live and direct from Central France. IamTheWitness.com is my website. And we've got a little update about that website. We've got a new version of Benjamin Friedman's 1961 speech that he made in Washington, D.C. And it isn't a 40-minute presentation, ladies and gentlemen. It's a 1 hour and 27-minute. It has been cut up on the Internet, or it just got introduced on the Internet in a single chunk and not the entire speech. It was brought to our attention by a very astute listener, and we now have put the entire speech together. It is devastating to a, wow, it is just amazingly full of information. It is probably, ladies and gentlemen, the most powerful audio ever prepared in the modern era. Why? Because even back in 1961, it identified who our criminal enemy was. These criminal elite Jewish leaders that have poisoned, more of them poisoned, murdered their way through our history books. Now, of course, they are very non-existent in the history books. They blamed it on Nazis, but if you listen to Mr. Friedman, you'll understand that Nazism was given birth to by them. It was blamed on the Kaiser and the rest of it, but you'll understand if you hear that Mr. Friedman tape, that download, that it was they who extended that war into turning into a mass murdering campaign in World War One. You'll also understand that the purges of Stalin and the murder of the Tsar and the Bolshevik Revolution was perpetrated and executed by them. And a grand total of 100 million murders were committed by them, either directly or indirectly, by Zionists, ladies and gentlemen, by evil Hebrew Jewish leadership. Now, that does not mean all Jews were behind them, because, in fact, Zionism has never enjoyed a majority of support in the Jewish community. And when it's presented to them by their leadership, they soundly reject the idea of returning to a crap hole in the center of the Middle East that is devoid of rainwater and beaten up to a fault. And, of course, there is a city there that is beautiful. I mean, it's still got some very beautiful historic areas, but the surrounding area is just burnt to a crisp, ladies and gentlemen. It's like going out into the Gobi Desert. And it certainly, you know, there is the possibility of stealing water from your neighbors. They can steal the Iraqi water from the Tigris and Euphrates and make it green. They could steal the water from the highlands of Lebanon and make it green. They could even kill enough of the surrounding Arab population to make it green with their blood, which is what they've been doing for quite a while. But is this the kind of place that most Jews want to support? I don't think so. And it does not represent the Jewish idea that their Messiah has returned for many people. They believe it's a lie. They believe that this, the people that are representing this attempt at establishing Israel are usurpers of that truth. And they believe that it, in essence, is a false Messiah doing it. And that is the belief of many, many Jewish people. And I've heard from many of them. I've been contacted by many of them. That is not to say that many of them don't believe otherwise and have not been criminally assisting these crooks from day one. You know, they are turning up the heat full time on threats. They're threatening people within my guest list. They're trying all kinds of stuff there. And then, you know, they're putting the nonsense out. We're going to go over the nonsense in the end of this segment and into the next. Take a look around you guys. Who's running the country? 57% of our leadership roles in government are this group. They control our media. They control our film industry. They control our medical boards. Our chief executives are by and large controlled. The stock market is controlled. The money system is controlled. There's not a single Jesuit in there, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Phelps' book is for retards. It is a book for morons. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. And somehow, many of the listeners, these ne'er-do-well listeners to the French Connection, and I urge you to turn the channel if that's who you're being identified as, please get out off my show. I mean, don't listen to this programming. I'm not here for fun. This isn't entertainment. This is not an entertainment program. This is a news program. We are in the last throes of our nation's history, and you chuckle beans are out there talking about the Black Pope. Get a grip on yourselves. Oh, man, the morons. It's like putting a loaded gun in the hands of a simpleton. You want to be fighting in a war with some nitwit with a loaded gun beside you? Maybe he's a mental defective. You want that person on your side in the war? No, I would rather have him not show up for the fight, ladies and gentlemen. I would rather have that person toss his gun to the ground and leave the battlefield. Because it might be my back that gets shot because this moron doesn't know left from right or up from down. Well, this is the same kind of problem we're facing in this movement. A lot of people. Mr. Smith, you're very mean, he says to me, because you're not accepting people's inability to understand the Black Pope. The Black Pope what is your major malfunction? Have you taken leave of your senses? Where's your common sense? Where is that sense? It has completely lost. People have lost their ability to discern anything, and I can't imagine that we have even the smallest of chances with this kind of people as our backers. I mean, my goodness. And of course, the disinfo people are out in force. We got this guy. Oh my God, what's his name? Livergood. Oh Jesus, we've got Livergood. We got Tarpley. I mean, this guy. It's all George Bush. Everything happened is George Bush. Not a single Zionist involved. No Jews involved. Israel's not involved. Come on, guys, get a grip. Why do you think we're over there? They've even admitted why we're over there, but Mr. Tarpley can't. He says it's all George W. Bush. Deborah Simon. Oh my God, Carl Schwartz. John Carlson. That's who Carl Schwartz is, by the way. Walter Mitty. That's what he is. Ladies and gentlemen, we come back. Come on, man. We got a fight to fight here. We got to show up with all our faculties. We'll be right back with more on the French Connection. And scotch and soda, ladies and gentlemen, you know. Yeah. We'll go back right into this little bit of a... well, I guess a diatribe, I guess we can call it. But Daryl Bradford Smith, your host today. It's Wednesday. It's the 18th. It's a good day to get up and battle these SOBs if you got a backbone and you got a brain. If you didn't come to this show listening with your brain, then maybe you need to change the channel. I don't want you. Said that before. Everybody says, oh, you're going to push your audience away. I know. Look, guys. I'd rather have 100 people with a brain than 5,000 of them with no brains. And boy, that's going to knock out most of the American public because they've just lost their ability to think these days. I mean, we're just talking about the American Twinkie Brigade. They've got a head of a septic tank up between their ears. I don't understand it. But they think that George Bush is the new Nazi. In fact, he should be wearing a Star of David armband on his arm, because that's who he's criminally involved with and has been for years. Now, did he finance the Nazis? Oh, yes, he did it at the behest of the Warburg Fortune, which is also a Zionist organization. They're also the owners of part of our Federal Reserve Bank. You know, it requires you to do a little research, guys. I mean, I try to lay it there for you to take a look at. It's kind of easy to take a peek at some of these connections. I mean, if you're just going to take the word of chuckleheads like this guy, I'm reading this guy Livergood. I mean, this guy is so far off the mark that I don't even understand it. And of course, George Bush is a bad guy, so I guess that's how he's drawing people in. But the yarn he spins here is almost painful to read. And I understand that a lot of people are just going to go, yeah, yeah, he's right. It's George Bush doing this. And give me a break, guys. It's not George Bush. He's going to go down in history as just a retard meat puppet. He's not doing this stuff. This guy doesn't have the brains he was born with. And look who's behind him. Look at Wolfowitz. He's running the World Bank now. He's a Zionist. I mean, look at the people doing this stuff. These are not the Nazis. They're not the new American Nazis and stuff. This is people controlled through large sums of Rothschild, Warburg, Kahn, Goldman money, old European money, and old jewelry money, and this is a Zionist plot. They've been executing this plot since way back when, even before, ladies and gentlemen, before the French Revolution, before Oliver Cromwell. They were pulling this kind of stuff in Spain. Back during the Inquisition, they were pulling this malarkey. You have to just take you guys haven't done any studying. Not a single person out there who's buying into this nonsense. But then again, you know, you see him buying into this UFO hooey as well, and you have to wonder how lost is the country, how far down have we sunk, how crazy are we really? And you know, we've got 14 million people a week tuning into Coast to Coast. Oh, my goodness. Now, talk about a septic tank of imbeciles. Jesus. And I'm trying to get, you know, 15, 20,000 over here to hang with this truth, and I can document it all. And so can Ben Friedman. And so can Mr. Untermyer, because he's one of the bad guys who actually exposes himself, as it were, to his part in this mess. And history books expose these people going back in time. The lies are all readable in your history books, but no, they'd rather have somebody else read their history to them. That's the problem here. You know, we were given a brain in our heads to use to sift through information and make decisions. And I'll tell you, if we were out in the wilds again, most people I'm looking at wouldn't be making it. They'd become fodder for the masses of crooks and criminals out there. Wait till the implosion comes and see how badly these people fare. Oh, la, 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 la. It's going to be bad. But anyway, you know, today's person, we're going to have a great show today, because we got Ted Pike on. Now, Ted, what's special about Ted is that he knows the ins and outs of how all this stuff is affecting a great swath of America who have been duped. They consider themselves Christian Zionists. And they have been lied to in mass, and at some point, there is a great hope that they will awaken from this slumber. Ted has been very careful to use his language, saying that they are evil Jewish leadership, because he does not want to have these people fearfully turn away from the message that he's putting out, and I understand that. I don't care what you call them, ladies and gentlemen. You can call them any name in the book. They're all bad, 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 bad people. They murdered 100 million people in the last century. That's the end of the story. Ben Friedman will lay it out for you. Tune it in. And the rest of these guys trying to destroy my guest list, well, tomorrow I've got the Secretary General of the United Nations for the mission in Iraq. See how you did. I got the leading researcher in the country coming on after that. I got the, oh, geez. You know, there are people out there that aren't afraid of you idiots and all of the attacks you're making on my guests. And, you know, I feel bad for Kurt, his wife, Kurt Nimmo. His wife probably was worried, and I understand that. But you know what? When you're faced with an enemy, you turn and you fight them. That's how you defeat enemies, guys. You don't go hide and go, oh, the enemy's coming. I got to be afraid. Oh. Eric Hupschmidt made a very, very novel observation. He said, if that were the case, if every time a threat came at us as when we were in the Stone Age, we'd have never continued our species. Imagine a pack of wolves coming at us in the Dark Ages and everybody going, oh, I'm afraid. We'd have been torn apart by the wolves. Well, wolves attack, you turn and you fight. Well, these people are wolves, and they even admit that they're wolves right in their Torahs about how they're going to rip up Esau and the Gentiles. They really just spell it out. Well, I'm not a sheep. I'm a wolf. That's right. And that's why I don't care. I don't get on this radio to make friends with you. It's not my job here. And it's not my job. I don't get paid for this anyway, so this isn't a job. I don't do this as a job. I do this as an act of kindness toward the people that I love. I want them to grow up in a free nation, and we've already lost that. I want it back. I want my country back, man. The hardest thing for me to realize is that we never really, in my lifetime, had a free country. That really, then I felt angry because you duped me, man. And see, but the information was never available like it is now. This internet has made it available to you. So what you've got to use, if you're a thinking person, is that brain of yours, and sift through this hooey. And Warren, get your head out of that dark place there, Warren. George Bush hasn't been indicted, man. Warren writes to me, hey, you're just mean, he says. And George Bush did get indicted. Look at that. I said, my goodness, here's the brain you were born with. He didn't get indicted, man. Oh, boy. It's a battle. Especially when, you know, you just have to keep just rolling on and rolling on. That's it. You know, 2 hours a day of radio, it's a slog, and I feel more invigorated when someone's fighting with me, because that brings my juices to the surface, makes me want to win more. It works perfectly well for most people who are of some warrior blood here, that, you know, when you start pushing me, that's the worst thing to do to me, pushing me. You want me to go away, you don't push me, that's for sure. When we come back, we're going to have Ted Pike, and we got a lot of things to talk about. Boy, we got the media to talk about today, boy. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, Ted Pike. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Darryl Bradford Smith here. Yeah, you know, my enemies are going to try to nonsense me right off the radio here. I swear to goodness, it's the beanhead brigade. I don't get it sometimes. But, you know, my guest today has been looking into this mess, this plot that dates back hundreds and hundreds of years. It's had different names and people in different leadership positions of it. But they really took off in their influence, in America and globally, for that matter, when they took over the complete power of the media. And if you take a look at who runs the media and who controls it and who signs the checks and who makes the decisions, you'll find out that, in Ted's terms, and I'll use those today, evil Jewish leadership is in control of our media. So I'm going to bring Ted Pike on. How are you, Ted?
Real good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I acquiesce to your definition just for this moment, because that's the term you use. I happen to use Zionist because that's what Benjamin Friedman has decided the term should be for these folks. But no matter what we call them, they are deceivers and they are liars to not only the Christian community but their own community, aren't they?
They certainly are. Actually, the reason I have evolved into that term, using that term, is because most evangelicals in the United States today and even in the world consider themselves Christian Zionists. And therefore, if we bash the Zionists, they feel personally threatened. On the other hand, in the Bible, throughout the entire Old Testament and New Testament, we find evil Jewish leaders constantly under attack by the great prophets of God. And therefore, there's an openness to the idea among evangelicals that evil Jewish leaders have always been a thorn in the side of Israel, And then I'm informing them that they still are a cause of anti-Semitism and reproach upon the Jewish people. So what I'm finding is that when I talk to Christians, when I talk to evangelicals and say, those evil leaders are still on the scene and they are still misguiding God's chosen people, then their ears pick up and they don't have baggage with that. They don't have a prejudice against it. But of course, you can use whatever terms you want. But my main focus is to get to the evangelicals and let them know, explain to them how they have been so tragically misled by these evil Jewish leaders.
Well, the facts are, and I've understood them more and more clearly as I've investigated this mess, that they have set out from their inception, these folks, to enslave us. And if you go back in Scripture, they see the group of people descended from Esau as supposed to be their slaves almost. They're supposed to have 10 Esau slaves for every Jewish person, according to some of the Torahs I've read. And, I mean, that may be a figurative rather than literal statement, but it seems to be quite clear and frightening to me.
Well, what happened about 2,500 years ago was that when Nebuchadnezzar came and took the southern kingdom of Judah into Babylonian exile, he took them 1,000 miles across the burning sands of the Middle East to Babylon, the Jewish people actually found a pretty good situation there. It was a commercial center, it was prosperous, and these Jews put down roots in Babylon and actually began to call it their second promised land. And in Babylon, there arose a group of teachers, lay teachers, called scribes, or Sophurim, as they were called, the wise ones. And these scribes, they're later called the scribes and Pharisees by Jesus. What they did was they brought in real unvarnished racism into Judaism. Back in the time of Joshua and Moses and so on, the Canaanites may have been very wicked, but they were not considered racially degenerate and unclean and polluting and actually inferior to the Jews. God told them to drive them out of Canaan and even to extirpate them because they would corrupt the purity of the Hebrew monotheism and faith in God, which God was trying to keep intact in order to provide a place to bring Jesus Christ into the world. But what happened when the Pharisees came in the several centuries before Christ, and they actually dominated the religious scene in Judea during the time of Christ, was they taught the Jews that the Jew was a holy being. He was higher and purer than the Goyim or the Gentile dogs. And therefore, in Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan, we find that when a man was beaten up and thrown into the ditch and left for dead, the good Jews passed by on the other side of the highway because they were taught by the Pharisees that to even touch a Gentile or allow the shadow of a Gentile to come upon them would make them ritualistically unclean and polluted, you see.
Isn't that almost similar to what they did in India, where there's caste system?
Exactly.
There's a caste system, isn't it?
There's a caste system. And during these formative centuries before Christ, these Pharisees took in a tremendous amount of Babylonian occultry and sorcery and magic and numerology, all that stuff from the Far East came into Judaism. And actually, they changed Judaism into a system which involved a secret teaching called the Kabbalah or the Kabbalah. And in this Kabbalistic teaching, which came into being centuries before Christ, was the idea that the ultimate God, called the En Sof, was so unknowable and so remote and so indifferent, basically, to the human plight, that his pure light or essence filtered down through many gradations called Sephirot in the Kabbalah until it reached Israel. And Israel was the practical, intelligent source of action and enlightenment and redemption in this world. But underneath Israel were the Goyim, they're called the Cliffoff, the demons, and these include the Gentiles and the demonic hordes. And so what the Kabbalah and the Pharisees basically taught was that Jews are are a basically a divine species of beings who are as indispensable, literally, to the existence of the world and the universe as a proton is to an atom. But they are meant to be in a superior position over the Goyim hordes who are regarded as Gentiles and unclean and so on. And therefore, according to the Pharisees, the great tragedy of this world is that somehow the Gentiles and the Christians have gotten on top, and the true sovereign people who should be in dominion of the world, the Jews, have been in exile and wandering and persecuted and dispersed and so on. And so the great goal of this Kabbalistic Pharisaic system from then even unto now is to bring what they call proper order to the universe, which is to reassert the role and the place of Jews in dominion of society.
Well, you know as well as I do that if you try to segregate yourselves away from the rest through not marrying beyond your own group, we know today throughout history that we end up having problems both genetically, emotionally, morally. I mean, it just what we end up with is a mixed soup of dangerous elements inside, it seems to me. And this is what we've got here. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a problem with leadership in this group, and we have to talk about this leadership because they are frightening the very core of our belief system. Ladies and gentlemen, when we return, more from Ted Pike. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. You know, I got a lot of friends in America that are of the Jewish faith. In fact, I stay in touch with several that are very close to me. And one of the biggest fears that the Jewish leadership, this group of people orchestrating these messes in the world, fear the most is that this Jewish community will marry itself out of being Jewish. And that, in fact, has been happening to the American Jewish community. One in two Jews in America has married outside of their religion. Now, they're not the only religion that calls for you to marry within your religion. The Catholics did for many years. I still think they do. You're not supposed to get married in a Catholic church unless your spouse is also Catholic. So they're not the only religion that calls for that. However, their means of keeping people from doing it are fear and events and terrible disruptions in society to make people fearfully run away from any other group and go back to the core of their own group. And that's how they've used, that's what they've done over time. And Ted, I want to talk to you now about how this same group of people in control of the media has been fashioning a hedonistic sickness across America for decades.
Yes. What you have in the United States is basically a century of Jewish control of the media. And, you know, people say, well, can you prove that? Well, of course you can. It's the easiest thing in the world. Go down to your local library, even a fairly small library, and look up the article in the Encyclopedia Judaica. That's the authoritative encyclopedia of all matters Jewish during the last 40 years. It was published, I guess, in about 1971. And look up the article on motion pictures, and you will find there statements again and again establishing beyond the shadow of a doubt the pivotal role which Jews have played in the motion picture industry, dominating it from the very beginning. They have a lengthy article there describing how Adolf Zukor founded Paramount Theaters, Paramount production studio. This is all happening in the first 15s and 20s of this century.
Yeah.
And then Carl Lemel founded Universal. William Fox founded the 20th Century Fox. Louis B. Mayer founded Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. And Harry Cohn founded Columbia. And Jack and Harry, Sam and Albert Warner, they founded Warner Brothers. These are
Lawrence Tisch and his family founded CBS.
Well, Lawrence, no, actually it goes on. There's another article you should read, and that is on television and radio. And in that article, they will completely explain to you how in 1926, David Sarnoff, as a offshoot of RCA, founded the NBC radio network at that time. And then in 1928, they'll explain to you how William S. Paley, a Jewish cigar maker from Chicago, founded CBS. Then they will explain to you how in 1942, as a result of an antitrust suit, Leonard Golden's son split off from NBC and founded the ABC television network. And so here we have the great root system, if you will, the origins and the root system, the dominant reality of Jewish control of the media during the 20th century. And nothing could be as significant as this, because this is the spigot of information, literally the evening news and the and I'm not even mentioning all of the periodicals and newspapers and book publishing and so on.
Thy Newhouse and the rest of these.
That's
books.
Right, and they have articles on publishing. They have feature articles on each one of these pioneers of the television industry. It's all there. It's as close as your local library. And I cannot believe how people are still in a state of speculation, saying, well, some people say the Jews are behind it, and then some people say the banks own Hollywood, and some people say, you know, this is the Japanese, or this is...
They're saying the Black Pope is behind it all, Ted. and they're saying that the Jesuits are sneaking around the world the Black Pope.
Yeah, I've heard all kinds of ideas.
My goodness, Ted, how could people be so chuckle-headed? I don't get it.
Well, they're so chuckle-headed because they don't want to face reality, because the reality is that this is all thoroughly documented, and there are dozens and dozens of other Jewish sources which written by Jews, which glory and pride themselves in this tremendous accomplishment and innovation in the 20th century, which is called the movies and television.
Well, haven't they actually kept their stranglehold on it through racism? Because what I understand from people who've been visiting my show, Zionism and what I call Zionism, but what you call the leadership, has practiced a policy of racism throughout that's part of their control mechanism, is using racist actions to keep their control very tight.
Well, I think that's true, and I think what's happening, what has always happened from in the Talmud from the very beginning, was that, see, the early Pharisees knew that they would never be able to keep their people together, cohering as basically a fighting force. As the United States, they have become so assimilated that those walls have been broken down largely.
Well, we've got a whole bunch of time left, Ted, so we're going to go through this subject piece by piece. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, this is a study in modern day activities of this group, and we need to know this stuff. So stick with the French Connection. We've got lots more to come with Ted Pike. We are back. We've got a short segment coming up right now. Daryl Bradford Smith with my co-host today, Reverend Ted Pike. We are exploring how the media has put its evil grip around our necks and is really polluting our society awful. Ted, we've got about 3 minutes. I wanted to set ourselves up for the second hour of the show today, and maybe you can go into some of the things you'd like to touch on in this next hour.
Yes, there's a tremendous controversy going on in the country right now over NBC's new comedy. It airs every Friday evening. It's called The Book of Daniel, and this basically is a trashing of the whole venerable concept of the Christian family. It has an Anglican, that's a Church of England priest, who is a drug addict, his wife is an alcoholic, his son is a homosexual, his daughter deals in drugs, his secretary is a lesbian, and so on. And I'm sure many of our listeners have already seen the first episode of two of this program. But this is another assault, a major assault upon the whole idea of the sanctity and integrity of the Christian family and of Jesus Christ. They have Jesus Christ in there as this rather inane, apathetic counselor to this Anglican priest whenever he gets into trouble. It's just more of the same kind of thing that the Jewish media tried to thrust upon the American people back with the Last Temptation of Christ back in the 1980s. And I'm fighting this. I have a new email alert going out, thoroughly exposing the background authority behind this in NBC, which begins with Jeff Zucker, who is the predominating genius and power in NBC right now. And if people would like to come to my website at truthtellers.org. This evening I will have my latest article on this subject up on the front page, and you can read it, download it, send it out as widely as you possibly can, because we need to bring these evil Jews in the media to heel once again.
Well, you know, they're not going to stop until they've met their goals. And one of the other goals, Ted, I want to talk about is the homosexualizing of our society as well. And I mean, I, my take on this is that we've got a natural number of homosexuals in any society that dates back, as far as my research can go, about between to around 10%. But if you see what they've done today on our networks and stuff, almost every single program has almost wall-to-wall homosexuality in it, and it's just incredible. I mean, and I look at it and I say to myself, this is intentional. It has to be.
Yes, and it's coming from crucial Jewish leadership in the big three television networks, and I've been doing research especially on Jeff Zucker, who is considered the most successful and powerful television executive in the nation today. He is squarely behind this Book of Daniel production, and yet tragically, unfortunately, the new right doesn't have the nerve to even point out that this is coming from Jewish sources.
Well, we're going to point it out today, Ted, and I want to make sure that my listeners know that I don't have any personal enmity toward any group, but what I'm talking about here is the actual effort they're making to try to mess up our lives. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, the second hour of the French Connection.